there is one question which almost no one asks, but the answer to that question is the one everyone needs to know. Why were you born? Have you ever asked yourself that question? You should. Why do I exist? What's my purpose? If you were to ask 1,000 other people, you might come across 1,000 different answers. But what is the answer? What does God Almighty say about why He made you? What the very purpose of your life is? If you want to know the purpose for your life, and by knowing, change your life forever, then stay tuned. Greetings and welcome to Tomorrow's World. Have you ever wondered why you are alive? Why God made you? What the point of it all is? Our world is so full of heartaches and suffering. From the tragedy of wars and international conflict to disease epidemics and famines and natural disasters of every shape and size. Is there a purpose to it all? A reason that provides meaning for what we all struggle with on this planet? What of the walking wounded, so to speak? Those who live their lives day in and day out with a sense of what Thoreau called quiet desperation. Going to work, eating, going to bed, going to work, eating, going to bed. Stuck like a rat in a maze, hunting for the elusive morsel of cheese that you can eternally smell, but for some reason never seem to be able to find. Have you ever wondered, is there a real reason why I'm alive? Is there a purpose to my life? Why did God make mankind? Why did He make me in the first place? You wouldn't be the first to ask that question. Around 3,000 years ago, King David, the poet warrior of Israel, penned these words that we find in Psalm chapter 8 and verse 3. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? Here at the beginning of our program today, I want to confess to you that I'm a little nervous about this show. The topic I want to talk with you about today, the purpose for your life, for my life, why you were born, that topic is very important to me. I know that if you really knew and believed the incredible, mind-blowing reason why you were born, why God created you in your mother's womb, your reason for existing, it would completely change your life. And I know that the vast majority of you out there have never heard this amazing truth, because almost no one knows why mankind exists, although the answer is sitting right there within the pages of our Bibles, if we're willing to shut our own mouths and let God do the talking and tell us, and if we are willing to take Him at His word. I need you during this half hour to trust God. If you're going to experience the life-changing effect of knowing your purpose, your reason for living, then I need you to trust God and believe what your Bible says, even when it goes against conventional wisdom. Now, please note, I'm not asking you to believe me. Too many people simply believe what others tell them the Bible says, without checking up on them. Don't believe me. Check up on me. Believe your Bible. But do you have the faith to actually believe your Bible? Let me ask you, are you able to read the Word of God with the humility and faith of a small child? In Luke chapter 18, we are told of a tale when many parents were bringing their children to Jesus in order to have Him bless them. The disciples, full of themselves and feeling that their business was too important to be interrupted by children, turned these people away. But Christ put a stop to that. We read here in verse 16, Jesus called them to him and said, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. Our purpose has everything to do with the kingdom of God. And yet most have lost the ability to receive it like a little child. We're all too full of our own ideas, our own interpretations, to truly trust a loving Father in heaven and take Him at His word. Will you be the exception? Will you be the exception as we look at what your Bible says about the purpose of human life? Of course, most don't even think about the meaning of life. In fact, many scientists often tell us that there is no purpose, that mankind is just a really, really lucky collection of atoms and molecules. One famous evolutionist summarized this thought by saying this: "Man is the result of a purposeless and materialistic process that did not have him in mind. He was not planned." But we don't have to take the path of the willfully ignorant scientists who reject the revelation of God and the true foundation of wisdom. And we don't have to take the path of the modern theologian who begins with the philosophical traditions of the ancient pagans and tries to make them fit into the pure word of God using a faulty presupposed framework. Rather, if we have the courage and if we will ask God to open our minds, we can look to the source. We can look to the word of God for the answer to the question of our purpose. And when we look into that word, when the Bible speaks about our purpose, about our destiny and the reason that we were created, the whole reason that Jesus Christ came and suffered and died for us, the reason God intended for man from the dawn of time, we consistently see the same theme. In some way, God intends man for glory. In fact, the glory associated with man's ultimate destiny in the plan of Almighty God, ordained from before the foundation of the world, is such a common theme that time doesn't permit me to review all the verses with you here on our program today. But I encourage you to look them up for yourself. Read Romans chapter 9 and verse 23, which describes man as a vessel intended for glory. Read what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 of the glory that will be manifested in the spirit bodies of the resurrected saints. Read Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27, which says that Christ in us is the hope of glory. For now, let's just turn to 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2 and read verses 13 and 14. "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which He called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." What glory does God ultimately intend for you? Do you have the courage to believe it if you read it? We're going to find out very shortly. But first, let me show you the absolutely free booklet that we're making available. It's entitled, Your Ultimate Destiny. Honestly, I'm at a loss as to how to adequately describe the powerful impact that this booklet will have on your life. Of all the self-help books that you could pay money for at your local bookstore, I can't think of a single one that has the potential to change your life forever like this one. Don't let this opportunity go by only to wish that you had taken advantage of it. Let us send you this booklet today, absolutely free.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-718-4800. That number once again is 1-800-718-4800. Call now. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
Welcome back. What does the Word of God say that God intends for us? We read of glory, but what glory? For the last 2,000 years, very intelligent so-called Bible experts have interpreted what God says in His Word through the lens of ancient pagan philosophical ideas, unable to simply trust what God says, to trust that what He says is what He means, and He means what He says. God didn't consult Plato or Socrates or any other ancient philosophers when He inspired the words of this book. Why should we have to consult them to understand what God is saying? In contrast to the philosophers, the faith of a little child is pure and trusting. And when Dad says something, no matter how crazy it sounds, it must be so. I know. I've got 4 young sons myself, and I'll be absolutely honest. Sometimes it scares me to death how trusting they are of every single word that comes out of my mouth. With the heart of a child listening to his father, let's read together what God says of our destiny and our purpose. Turn to Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Do you see the magnitude of what is being said? If you are now a child of God, if you have repented of sin, of breaking God's law, been baptized and given God's Holy Spirit so that Christ is living in you, then you are now a child of God and an heir. But an heir of what? It says you are a joint heir with Christ. You will share the inheritance of Jesus Christ. Can we understand this with the simple faith of a child? Imagine I took my 4 sons and I told my oldest, "Son, you're getting the mansion, the Ferrari, the summer home, and my billion-dollar portfolio." And then imagine I took my other 3 sons and said, "Boys, you're going to be joint heirs with your brother. Here's a small dollhouse for each of you, a toy car, a sandbox to play in, and $3 apiece." Do you think they would agree that they were joint heirs with their big brother in any way at all? Of course not. Being a joint heir with Christ means we will actually share in His inheritance. Let's continue in Romans. "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." The sufferings of this present time, and there is real suffering in this present time. Many of you know that personally. Yet the Apostle Paul says that the suffering that we go through is not worthy to be compared to the glory that's going to be revealed in us. Not the glory revealed to us, but the glory that's going to be revealed in us. What is our destiny? What is our purpose that it is so great that the horrible magnitude of the suffering that this world can inflict simply pales in comparison to the glory of that purpose? Let's keep reading. "For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God." Consider what that says. If we can clear our minds of the muddled thinking that keeps us from really trusting in the words that we read in the Scriptures, can we see that something wonderful is being said here? That we are to be sons of God. You know, I have never seen a man who has had a son where that son was any less human than his daddy. In any other circumstance, you and I would accept the truth that sons grow up to be like their fathers, with differences, of course. One is always the father and the other is always the son, but both human, both living on the same plane, with the same kind of existence. Why then do we tend to think that God means anything less than what he says when he says that we are to be his sons and that the entire creation trembles in anticipation of the return of Christ and the revelation of those sons? Why do we minimize what God says when we just read in Romans chapter 8 and verse 17 that if we are willing to suffer with him, to struggle against the flesh like he did, overcoming with the help of God Almighty, then we also will be glorified together with him? Look a little later in the same chapter in Romans. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. The trials, the tests, the challenges of this life, all working for good as God uses them to fulfill his purpose in us. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Conformed to the image of his Son. The firstborn among many brethren. Really? Do we water this idea down in our minds and fail to accept it for exactly what it says? If I took my oldest son and stood him up in the middle of a room and then scattered a few gerbils and chickens around his feet and told him, "My boy, you are the firstborn among many brethren. Meet your brothers." He'd say I was crazy, and rightly so. I am a human being, and my sons are human beings. Let's look at another verse, this time in 1 John chapter 3. And I've got to warn you, many people are not able to accept the fantastic truth that we are about to read, but it is there in your Bible. In an amazing passage, the Apostle John writes, beginning in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." John plainly says that it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed in glory and power at his second coming to rule this earth, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And what does it really mean to be as he is? Look up John 17 and verse 5. Where Christ asked the Father while he was on earth that he would be returned to the glory he had with the Father before they created the world. Look up John chapter 1 and verse 1, where we're told that in the beginning was the Word, Christ, and that the Word was with God and the Word was God. Read Revelation chapter 1, where Christ is described as a vision of power with a body of glory and might. Read Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. Where Christ is described as being the brightness of God's glory and the express image of his person. My friends, if Christ was restored to his glorious divinity after his resurrection, and if the scriptures say many times over that we will share his glory, share his inheritance, share his rulership under him, share his image, share his form, share his existence, be his brothers, who are we to disagree with Scripture and fail to take God at his word? Verse after verse in the Scriptures say the same thing. And if you get our booklet, you'll see that. This booklet, Your Ultimate Destiny, will prove to you more thoroughly than I ever could in this short broadcast what your own Bible says about what God intends to accomplish in you. Reading this booklet will help you begin looking at life in a way that will transform you forever. Remember, there is absolutely no cost, and no one will contact you unless you request it. Don't miss out. Order your copy of Your Ultimate Destiny today.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-718-4800. That number once again is 1-800-718-4800. Call now. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227.
With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
Friends, the purpose of your existence is to become a literal, full Son of God. When you realize that that is the testimony of Scripture, it changes everything. How you look at life, the meaning in your trials and tribulations, your relationships with your family and with your fellow man. Let's read another passage, this time in the book of Hebrews, where the passage that earlier we read from the Psalms is going to be quoted again. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 5, "For God has not put the world to come of which we speak in subjection to angels." In fact, in 1 Corinthians 6 verse 3, he says that we will be judging and ruling over angels. "But one testified in a certain place, saying, 'What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection to him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him." God does intend that man take dominion of all things, that you take dominion of all things, the entire universe, under him and under Christ, who is King of kings. Man's dominion under the loving guidance and direction of our great Father and elder brother will eventually include all things, even that which is currently beyond our ability to perceive. Let's continue in Hebrews. "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren." As shocking as it may seem, the testimony of Scripture is that God is making a family. He is creating sons in us, not symbolic sons of some lesser nature or degree, but real, full sons of God. Not some quasi-son or some not quite a son who lives on a lesser plane of existence, but real, full, glorified sons that will share the life and plane of existence that their father and elder brother share throughout all eternity. Such a purpose gives meaning to our trials and our struggle in this world. God's ultimate purpose for man has always been and still is to reproduce himself in us, that we might live in this life, building godly character during our struggles in this world through his strength and through his help, and eventually at the resurrection of the just, join God the Father and Jesus Christ as a part of their family forever. I know that these things are hard to believe. When I first heard them and saw them in my own Bible, I found them hard to believe too. In all honesty, the fairy tales that most people preach, that we're just going to die and float off to heaven for a life of leisure like God's pets, or even that we're just a bunch of monkeys wearing blue jeans, Sometimes those fantasies seem a lot easier to swallow than what the Bible actually says. I look at myself in the mirror, and what I see there seems far from a future child of God in glory and power, living for all eternity in the family of God, a literal brother of Jesus Christ, with God Almighty as my Father, my true Father, and sharing their nature and their glorious and exalted plane of existence forever. And yet, why can't the omnipotent God accomplish such a thing? The God who crafted all of reality from nothing, the God who shaped the very universe and filled it with wonder and power, the very God whose infinite mind grasped the entirety of creation from beginning to end, whose power fills the seemingly limitless reaches of space and extends not only into the fiery heart of every burning star, but also into the depths of every human heart, into which he tells us that he has placed a longing for eternity. I am not bold enough to tell God what he cannot do. Are you? Who ties his hands? Ancient philosophers? Let's agree with the Apostle Paul when he says, "Let God be true and every man a liar." And let's agree with Jesus Christ when he says that with God, all things are possible. May God help all of us to look into his word with the trusting heart of a child, to see the amazing purpose for us that he describes in that word, and to act accordingly. And may he help all of us to believe the Apostle Paul when he says in Ephesians chapter 3 that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or even think, according to the power that works in us. Please order the free booklet that we're offering today, Your Ultimate Destiny. When you know the breathtaking details of what God plans for you tomorrow, it'll have a powerful impact on the life you live today. And please continue to tune in each week to Tomorrow's World. Roderick Meredith and Richard Ames will show you the humbling but empowering truth of God, truth which you will not find anyplace else. See you right here next week.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-718-4800. That number once again is 1-800-718-4800. Call now or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. To view today's program, order the free literature offered, or for more information on today's vital subject, visit us online at www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program is produced by the Living Church of God.